Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up with Hope, October the 3rd. And I love the month of October. As the season is changing, we step into fall, and here we are in a brand new month. And God always is doing something new. If you look at Him, you wake up every morning, it's a new day. We have a brand new month. We have a new season. God is all about the new. And the Lord has a word for you this morning. This morning I want to address those of you who have been holding on to a word from God. Maybe it's a promise. Maybe it's a dream. And the days have turned to weeks, have turned to months, have turned to years. And it just seems that, well, it's just not going to happen. And you've wondered and waited and maybe at the point of giving up. But I want you to know this morning that God will give you a word. He will give you a promise. He will give you a dream, but He will also put you through the test of your faith to be fitted for that word. You have to be fitted for the word. So let's think about what that means. Let me give you an example. If you are, let's say you're going to be attending a wedding, and you have, for the gentleman, you've purchased a suit. For ladies, you have a dress, but it doesn't quite fit. Well, you go and you have it altered, right? So when you walk into the door of this alterations and you are getting ready because this seamstress is going to now alter your clothes, what do you have to do? You have to try it on. And you stand there and they have to pin things and they have to tack it over here, and you know what I'm talking about. Maybe the pants are too long, they have to hem them. Ladies, maybe your dress is too loose at one part, it has to be tightened. You're getting fitted. When Aaron died, do you know that the garment of the priest, it couldn't be cut and altered like we have our garments cut and altered. The next priest in succession had to be fitted for that garment. So in our world, we call it we're being fitted, but in actuality, the garment is being fitted for us. In God's world, we have to be fit for the garment because God doesn't alter. He doesn't cut. He doesn't lengthen and shorten. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're going to have to be fitted for the word. So again, in our world, right, we call it being fitted. You're being fitted for this garment. Really, the garment is being fitted for you. In God's kingdom, you have to be fitted for the garment. So God gives you a word, but God's not altering the word to fit you, like that dress or that suit. God is altering you. He is going to put you through the test of your faith so you can be fitted for the word he has given you. It's just the way he works. I want you to think about the story of Joseph. If you look at his circumstance, Joseph is the dreamer. And he is a young teenager, and he is dreaming these fantastic dreams, and his brothers aren't really happy about it. But he's immature, and he doesn't know you can't tell your brothers that they're going to bow down and worship you. So they already have a problem because he's the favorite son of Jacob. And now he has dreams, and now he gets a coat. So there's so much jealousy going on. But he knows that this dream is from God. But God takes him, allows him to be rejected. God allows him to really go through so much rejection from his brothers, hatred, really. And Joseph lands in Egypt as a slave. He finds himself one day this favored son, and the next day he's a nobody slave. So if you look at his circumstance, Joseph's dream looks like a lie. He must have had this dream that he really thought was from God, and now he's questioning. So looking at the circumstance would cause him to believe that that dream was a lie. When God gives you a word, a promise, a dream, you will experience a contradiction. So God gives you a word, and you're so excited about this word. Oh, this is awesome. And then the opposite happens. There's a contradiction to the word. And you wonder, what? And you question, was this from God? So a lot of you have been given a word, and you've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and it seems like everything is a contradiction. Maybe those of you that have children, God spoke to you when they were young that they would fulfill a certain destiny, or God gave you a dream or a vision or a promise about your child, and your child is straying in the world. It doesn't even acknowledge God. It's a contradiction. God gives you a promise. You're going to experience a success in your company, and then you're experiencing a loss. The contradiction. God gives you a promise, and you're hopeful, and then some circumstance hits your life, and the promise seems to be a lie because the opposite is taking place. But Joseph had to be prepared for the dream. You see, God had to fit him for the dream. God has to fit you for the promise. And I want to reiterate this because you're getting a ton of messages lately. I'm preaching every day for the 10 days. You're getting 3 messages a week. And sometimes we forget. So lest you forget, I'm going to reiterate what I said because I really want this to be engraved in you today. You go and you get your garment altered because your garment is too big. And remember, the sleeves are being, hemmed, the pant is being hemmed, the waist is being tightened, It's being altered to fit you. The garment is being altered to fit you. It's just the way it is. But in God's word, he gives you the garment and he doesn't cut it. He doesn't alter it. God cuts you and alters you. Blessed be his name. So here's this phenomenal dream. And God doesn't start clipping the dream apart to fit Joseph. God starts clipping areas in Joseph's life so that Joseph can be fitted for the dream. And note how God's going to fit him. God is going to prepare him for the dream in the most difficult condition. In fact, it's extreme conditions. It wasn't just that his brothers hated him and they were jealous and they gave him a hard time and they bullied him. I mean, that's difficult enough, isn't it? But God is now going to have him removed completely from his father, his family, his occupation as a shepherd. And God is going to allow him to go from a son to a slave. You talk about extreme conditions? And now, this young 17-year-old is going to be in shackles and removed from everything he has known for 17 years. And he lands in Egypt with nothing but a dream. He's not with his father. He's with strangers. He's separated. He's isolated. He's forsaken. He's hated. Disregarded. Sold as a slave. And nothing makes sense. God, why? Me? How many times did he ask that question? How many times do you ask that question? God, why me? I don't understand. We don't. Because our ways are not his ways and our thoughts are not his thoughts. So we're going to have to make our ways his ways and our thoughts his thoughts. And we're going to know, we're going to get to know his ways and we're going to get to know his thoughts when everything goes wrong. When there's a contradiction, you're going to get to know how he thinks because God doesn't think like you think. God has to get him alone so he can get him to the place that he is fitted for the dream. Remember when Samuel came to the house of Jesse and he's looking for this king? And he's looking through David's brothers, you know, and, oh, they look good. Boy, they look good. Certainly, they're going to be the key. This one could be the key. And what did God say? Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Words couldn't be more true. There's a difference between how we see and how God sees. A vast difference. We see from circumstance. God sees from the finished work. We see from the trial. God sees the end result. God sees us as chosen and selected. We see ourselves as defeated. We see the challenges and the impossibilities. God sees the victory. So we've got to start seeing as God sees. That means you've got to stop looking in the carnal dimension and talking about all the negativity in your life and start talking about the promise God gave you. Do you know that our eyes have everything to do with what we believe? So it's what you see with your eyes. We have to see before we believe. But God wants us to believe before we see. I remember when my dad was in the hospital and he was really struggling in, you know, the last couple months of his life, and he was laying in that hospital bed, and the cardiologist, who I really continued to have friction with because she was negative, and I continued to have to tell her to please do not speak negative words in this room, because everything was doom and gloom and death before she, I mean, it was just unbelievable. And she and I would, we would go back and forth. And I was having to uproot everything she was saying. And somebody suffering, do you need a doctor to make it worse by just giving you negative words? And I mean, it was like a test of my dad's faith. She would come in and she would tell him, you don't look good. I'm really concerned, all of these things. And I remember one day she comes in, how are you doing, Mr. Boland? I'm doing well by God's grace, Dad always would say that. I'm doing well. And she looks at him and she says, well, from what I see, you're not looking that well. From what I can see, your legs are swelling. This and that's happening because, you know, my dad was having issues with his heart. And she said, you don't look that good. And you know what my dad said to her? I mean, it just came out of him because he was so filled with God. He said, you have to see to believe. I believe to see. Well, she couldn't come back to anything with that one. I mean, she had no comeback. She just left. You have to see to believe. Isn't it just like us? We need to see before we believe. But we need to get on the other side of our thinking, and we need to think like God and believe. You have to see to believe. I believe to see. We've got to believe to see the goodness of the Lord. We've got to believe. It's a test of your faith. You know, your whole entire life is a test of your faith. What do you see? Your vision. What you see is your belief system. So if you're just seeing the negative and seeing the problems and seeing and talking about it, then you can't get victory that way. What do you see? When Elijah was being taken up by the whirlwind, do you know that 50 of the sons of the prophets stood afar off? I mean, these were students of Elijah. They wanted to see the master leave, but they were afar off. Only Elisha followed him across the Jordan to the place that God would take him. And so they're standing there, and Elijah says to Elisha, if you see me when I leap, then you'll get the double portion. Then you have my mantle. Note that, because what did Elisha want? I want double of what you have. I want the double portion of anointing. Great. Well, you've got to see before you get the double portion. What was Elijah really saying? What is about to happen to me is going to be all spiritual. It will only be seen by spirit, because the 50 sons of the prophets didn't see it. They were looking for Elijah, thinking that, oh, he must be here, there, or somewhere. They had no idea. There was a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and a whirlwind, and he was taken up to glory. They didn't see it. Elisha did, because Elisha opened up his spiritual eyes. What Elijah was saying to him is, if you see in the spirit, you'll get the double portion. That's our problem. We're not seeing in the spirit. We're seeing in the flesh. And God is saying, you're going to have to open up your eyes and see the dimension of spirit and see by faith and know that my word is greater than what you're seeing in the natural. My word is going to have to become what you see instead of the circumstance of what you see. Oh, that's a word for someone today, because you're just looking at your circumstance and you're not looking at the word. The word has to be what you see, not the circumstance. Where are you looking? What are you looking at? You know, if you look at Jesus long enough, you'll be like Jesus. Psalm 34:5 says, they looked on him and were lightened. That means they looked on him and the glory came on them. So if you're looking to your circumstance, negativity and discouragement and despair will latch on to you, because that's all you're seeing when you're going through something. But if you look to Jesus, the glory will radiate on you. The reason why God had to take Joseph out of the comfort of his home and put him in a foreign country, in a place of rejection, a place that seemed to be hopeless, is that God had to fit him for the dream. So that means any pride, any arrogance, any type of carnal way of thinking had to be removed. God will take you through places of trials and circumstances that you don't like, opposition. God will take you through difficult places, because he's got to change your thinking. He's got to change your vision. He's got to test you to fit you. Again, he has to test you to fit you. You're being fitted right now, whether you know it or not. God's not going to alter what he said to fit your circumstance. God's going to alter you to fit the dream that you think is gone and dead and never will happen. God is fitting you to come into the promise that he gave you. But you've got to be fitted for it. That means flesh has to die. Your way of thinking must come to an end. Your love of self must be removed. And God will put you in a place of isolation, and nobody likes that. And God had to strip Joseph, and he left him there for 13 years before the promise came and Joseph got promoted into the palace and was second in command. 13 years. He was a young man, and he came into his manhood, adulthood. And in the midst of all he went through, because it really went from bad to worse. I mean, here he is. He knows God from what he's been taught. And he's in a land with foreign gods. You know how many gods Egypt had? And they're superstitious. And there's a god, a statue erected on every corner, and pyramids. And, I mean, what in the world? This is not home. And the Egyptians believed in so many gods. What was infiltrating his life? How easy would it be to take on the culture of what he was living in and have the culture influence him like today? We're influenced by our culture. But God is looking for someone who will go against the culture and stand and declare the kingdom of God and bring the kingdom of God in the midst of the defiled culture. So Joseph had to stay pure and holy and reverencing his God in the midst of an evil culture. And when Potiphar's wife came, don't think she was some ugly woman, unattractive. You know Satan is going to send his best. No doubt she was beautiful, enticing, seductive. And no one would have ever known if he would have committed adultery with her. Potiphar would not have known. But God would have known. Again, he's being fitted. God's going to test you. He's going to allow things to come that you don't like. And then, after he stands up for what is right, he's falsely accused and thrown into prison. I mean, he's already a slave. Now he's a slave in a prison. What was that moment like for him? Lord, I know I'll never see my family again, but I've kind of got a little bit of favor with Potiphar, though I'm a slave. Now, for standing up for you and doing what's right, my situation has gone from bad to worse. Now, I'm in prison. I'll never get out of here. God, why are you punishing me? What have I done wrong? But I've done the right thing. Think about what he was saying and what was going through his mind. There's a beautiful story about the life of Joseph. It's an old movie. I think it was filmed in the 90s. You should watch it. And I think that it wasn't, you know, off of the truth of the word. It really, they stayed pretty true, because Hollywood can really do their own thing in movies and twist things, but this is pretty true to the word. It's a very long movie. I think it's just called Joseph. Well, I can't remember the actor's name, but you all should look into that. It's a very good movie. And Potiphar is really disheartened because Joseph becomes like a son to him, and now he's got to put him in prison. But the point here is, he doesn't realize that the prison is going to get him closer to the palace. Hallelujah. You know, you have a situation in your life, and it goes from bad to worse. You just can't take it anymore. But you have no idea that that bad to worse is getting you closer to the fulfillment of your promise. He's closer to the palace now. He's in the prison, and he's got to be there so he can interpret the dream. Hello? For the butler. The baker died, but the dream. See, he interpreted the baker's dream and the butler's dream, and the butler forgot. So now Joseph's got a little glimmer of hope. Please remember me. And the butler gets his position again, and he forgets. So he's got to wait another 2 years. What? God, I don't understand you. You're right. You don't understand him. We don't understand him because it makes no sense. But you don't realize what makes no sense is God cutting you, trimming you, cutting away the flesh, getting you to the cross, dying to self, because he's fitting you for the garment. And your attitude and your vision and how you behave and what you see in the midst of your most difficult circumstance determines where you will be in the timeline of being, of having that promise fulfilled. When you're not right, things aren't right yet, it's delaying things because you're not right and you're not ready. If I went to Rose, the lady that does my alterations, and she said, Sharon, I want you to come back Friday, and I come back Tuesday, and I expect her to be finished with that dress, well, guess what? It's not finished yet. I have to wait. You see, God has a timing for every promise to be fulfilled. And the time that it takes to be fulfilled is the time God will use to fit you for it. There was a 13-year period that God had to fit and fit and fit Joseph, cut here and cut over there and hem this in his own life. And you know, the knife is difficult to go through. There's pain. When you cut fabric with those scissors, you're cutting something by sharp edges. It's painful. How much grief did he endure? How many tears did he shed? How much did he miss his daddy, his family, his little brother Benjamin? But how much anger did he have towards his brother? How much resentment did he have towards his brothers? Did he at one point have hate because it was their fault that he was here? You don't know the battle within him. The Bible doesn't specifically tell us those details, but there was a battle going on. I would never be here if my brothers didn't do this for me. I hate them. I hate them all. I hope God gets them back. We don't know what he was thinking. Life is so unfair. Yeah, it is. In our eyes. But only God can see the end result. And so what I want to really engrave in you today, so you don't forget this message, because we're all going to go through trials. We go in and out of trial, in and out of trial, in and out of being fitted. But I want you to know something. You are being fitted for your garment. You are being fitted for that word. You're being fitted for that dream. You're being fitted for that promise. And you've got to see it by faith. Remember, there's a difference between how you see and how God sees. So you've got to stop looking at what can't be done and stop looking at what the challenge is and what impossibility it is, and you've got to start seeing victory. What we see oftentimes is the defeat. Oh, it's never going to work. Oh, I'm doomed. No, you're not. Where is your faith? You've got to have the faith of God. Not just faith in God, but we've got to have the faith of God. This whole entire walk, don't you know? It's a walk of faith. Your faith will be tested. And why is your faith tested? So that you can be fitted for the promise. There's a beautiful portion of scripture, 1 John 5:4. You should write this down. 1 John 5:4. And there are many translations that you can look at this verse and break it down, but most of them are worded the same. Whosoever is born of God, note this, are you born of God? If you're born again, of course you are. You're born of God. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Huh. Overcome means conquers. What world? Everything that's opposing you. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Now, note this. You need to underline this in your Bible. This is the victory that overcomes the world. The world with your storms and trials and tribulations and negativity and opposition. That's the world, right? Okay, so I want to go back to the beginning. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. That means conquers. And this is a victory that overcomes. So how do you do it? Even our faith. Note that. Our faith gives us the victory to overcome the world, to overcome the trials, to overcome the opposition. Because you're born of God, and God already speaks to you before you even have run the race. And look at this proclamation that God says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. So you may feel like you're not an overcomer. Everything is overcoming you. But God's speaking the opposite. Whoever is born of God is going to overcome. You're going to overcome. Now, you may think you're overcome by the world, but God's like, no, no, no. You're going to overcome the world. I'm going to turn this around in the midst of your trial because I'm fitting you. You're being fitted to overcome the world, not live by the world overcoming you. And this is how you're going to do it. Your faith. Your faith. And your mouth has everything to do with your faith. Your eyes have everything to do with your faith. You've got to see it. You've got to see it. You've got to speak it. Your ears have everything to do with your faith. You've got to hear it. How do you hear it? By what you say. You've got to see. Not what the circumstances, but what his word is. So today, I want to give you an assignment. What is this problem? What is it that you're in the midst of? Where's the promise that God gave you that hasn't been fulfilled yet? Is it a promise about your life? A promise about your children? A promise about that spouse? A promise about a family member? A promise about a certain area of your life? You know, what is it? Where's the dream? Where's the promise? What is it? And I want you to write it down. It's important for you to do this. Write down what dream God gave you 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago, 50 years ago that you're still waiting on. What's the dream? What's the promise? So you write it down. And then I want you to go into the Word, and I want you to start speaking over it by faith. Because you've questioned it, you've doubted it, you thought that it wouldn't happen, because the circumstance in your life has been contrary to the Word God gave you. So what are you going to have to do? God is testing your faith, even your faith. It's your faith that's going to overcome the world. So if your faith is weak, you can't do it. You've got to build up your faith by declaring God's word over your own life and circumstance and situation. And so let me give you a quick example before we close. If God gave you a promise and a word and said, listen, Here's this promise for you. And this promise is that you are going to flourish and prosper and be a man or woman of means. I'm going to bring you out of debt into financial security, and you're going to be a lender and not a borrower. And God gave you that, showed you that he was going to give you a creative idea. It was going to bring prosperity and wealth into your life so you could bless the kingdom. Let's just a scenario that comes from the top of my head right now. It's the first thing I thought of. So all of a sudden, you lose your job. finances are dwindling. You're in the midst of something happen in your life, and everything is going the wrong way, and you don't know what to do. Unless maybe somebody is at that place right now where you know you've got this promise from God, but everything has gone the opposite way for a very long time, and you've become discouraged, hopeless, and you just think this is going to be the way you live the rest of your life because God just, for whatever reason, changed his mind. I want you to write down what that original dream was that God gave you, that original promise that God gave you. And I want you to start speaking over it by faith. Because you've spoken enough about it by what you see. You've talked to everybody and told them how terrible your circumstance is. But I want you to start talking about the fact, I want you to start talking faith, not circumstance. I don't want you to speak circumstance. I want you to speak faith. And you start speaking faith over it. And you start declaring it to come to pass. And you start believing it again. A lot of people have stopped believing. It's the trial of your faith that makes you fitted for the promise. It's a trial of what you see. What do you see? It's a trial of what you say. What do you say? Joseph had to be stripped, not just in the natural, of that beautiful coat and everything that really he held on to. God is going to strip him now internally. God is going to strip away areas of his life that don't need to be there. God has to fit him because he is going to be second in command, and he is going to be the reason why the nation of Israel is going to be saved, because they could have all died right there in famine. Do you realize what we know is the 12 tribes? We wouldn't have what we have today if they would have died in this famine. God had to prepare him to be fitted to be the ruler and to show compassion when he saw his brothers instead of hatred. When he saw his brothers, what did he show them? God had already changed his heart. And I want you to hear these words as we're closing. This is so powerful. Genesis 50:20. Here is what he told his brothers, who were stunned that he was alive. And you talk about being broken men after they were such prideful men. How horrible they felt for what they did and punished him and how they treated him. And they're going through this time. Oh, we're so sorry. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe we did this to you. You know, he could have said, I can't either. You need to give me the biggest apology because I'm really still offended by what you did. That's what most people would be. I'm still offended. I'm still harboring 13 years later some offense for somebody that did me wrong. And that's half of the reason why we're not getting to the promises fulfilled. We still have offense. We're still irked by them. We still don't like them. We're offended. So we've not been cut. See, your garment doesn't have offense in it that God's going to put on you. So what's God got to do? You've got to get offense cut out. But there's no offense here. Read with me if you have your Bibles, Genesis 50:20. As for you, listen to these words, wow. As for you, you intended evil, but God intended it for good. I'm so powerful. As for you, what you intended against me was for evil, but what God intended for me was for good. So we can accomplish a day like this and preserve the lives of many. Hallelujah. Wow. As for you, you intended against me evil. Note this, but God intended it for good. God takes the evil and turns it around for good. If you take the word evil and write it right now on a piece of paper, E-V-I-L. Now I want you to write it backwards. It's L-I-V-E. God takes E-V-I-L and he turns it around to L-I-V-E. As for you, you intended against me evil, but God intended for us to what? The word live, it's right there. To preserve lives. That's L-I-V-E-S, but it's L-I-V-E for them to live. Hallelujah. I just saw that, by the way. You know, when you're ministering, the Holy Spirit just starts showing you all these things. So you see the word evil and the word live in the same sentence. You intended it for evil. God intended it for good so that our family would live and not die. Wow. What a word this morning. What a word this morning for every one of you. Would you please share this? Would you share this today? Would you get on your cell phone and share this? You go to the podcast. It'll be uploaded in about an hour. And you find the today's date, October 3rd, there'll be a title, and I want you to click on it, and there's an option to share. Share it, because I promise you, there's somebody you know that needs to hear this word today. They need to know that what they're going through is an alteration of their life. God is altering you. He's not going to cut the garment to fit you. He's going to cut you to fit the garment. And that's just the way God works. Because God is who he is. And he knows what he's doing. And though you may think he doesn't, rest assured he does. There are questions I have all the time. Lord, what are you thinking on this? It makes no sense. I know, Sharon, to you, because you got to get out of your carnal thinking. You got to elevate. Lord, why? Just trust me. I don't understand. Don't worry about it. Just get in the Word and speak what I've told you. But it's not fair. It's not. It doesn't make sense. Why me? How many times have we said that? When is this going to end? When you have come to the place that you are surrendered. When you go and you get your clothes altered, does that dress work against the seamstress? No, that fabric is just sitting there waiting to be cut, waiting for a needle to go through it so it's sewed. It doesn't retaliate. It doesn't make it difficult for the seamstress. It's just sitting there, surrendered. Well, you have to be surrendered. So when he comes and he starts cutting away, you don't fight him, but you surrender. Because you know you're being fitted to wear the promise that God has given you. Blessed be his glorious name. I just sensed by the Holy Spirit this morning that there are some people listening, and this message is exactly right on point to where you are today. This message has hit the bullseye, has hit the target for you. And it's what you needed to understand where you are. If that's you this morning, because I really believe there are several of you, I want you to email me. I want you to email me because I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to keep you lifted up, that you will not waver, but you will surrender and allow your life to be altered by the master, who is the master tailor, may we say, who's going to tailor make you to fit the suit, to fit the dress, to fit the promise. Hallelujah. Please email me. You can email me at Sharon@SharonBoland.com. That's my personal email. Again, Sharon@SharonBoland.com. Ryan helps me with the other emails. This one is mine personally, so I will respond to you. Sharon@SharonBoland.com. And I'm going to keep you lifted up because I know that this message was your answer today. God loves you so much that he spoke to me at 6:45 this morning. I did not have this prepared last night. I did not have this prepared at 6:15 or 6:30 when I woke up. I was awake at 6:15, making my coffee, praying, what do you want to say today? And at about 6:40, 6:45, this is what the Lord brought. You just never know from day to day. I don't have these messages pre-planned. I just go day to day. Wake up in the morning. Oftentimes, it's 10 till 7, and I'm sitting here wondering what we're saying today. But the Holy Spirit, he knows what you need. He knows the food you need to sustain you, and that's what we're doing. You're getting manna from heaven, and it's coming out of the oven every morning, fresh and hot by the Holy Spirit. Only he could do this. So all glory and all praise belongs to him. He loves you so much, and he knows exactly where you are. And so this morning, he wanted to encourage you. Remember, Joseph thought it went from bad to worse when he was in the prison. He had no idea the prison was getting him one step closer to the palace. It may look bad, but you're getting one step closer to the fulfillment of the promise. So hold on. Don't be moved. And remember, it's about your faith. God has given you already everything you need in his word. You just got to stand on it and believe it and trust. And meditate today, especially on 1 John 5:4. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Blessed be his name. Have a wonderful day, everybody. And if you're going through the 10 days of awe, we'll see you tonight. God bless you.